We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So at the moment, we have been going through a series, which is Making Room for the King. And these past 3 weeks, we have heard about making room for the impossible, making room for the unexpected. And last week, Mrs. Moyo shared about making room for worship. And today, as the last installment in this series, I am doing part four, which is Making Room for Hope, or Make Room for Hope. One of the things I love about Christmas is it is quite an optimistic time of the year. Generally speaking, there is a lot of hope around, and you know, people generally want to look out for one another, and they want to, you know, make sure that we all feel the festivities of it all, hence why there's the Christmas lights, and I love the decorations and the lights, because again, it just impels people to actually look to Jesus and be joyful about his coming. And especially, I know me, when I was a young person, one time of the year where I knew that my hopes could be fulfilled was around about the time of Christmas. Normally, you know, these advertising companies, they know strategically that if they release a toy, they release a games console around about September, they've timed themselves that these next 3 months, these kids will be trying to work towards they're in the good books with their parents to make sure you get the present, right? All of a sudden, when it comes to Christmas, I would start researching, what exactly do I want to get? You know, I would know the dimensions of what the present looks like. So by the time it gets under the tree, I need to now check online to see if it's actually matching up with what it is that I was looking for. I was quite surprised. My wife actually does the same thing. So I was wondering, you know, I'm asking permission. Can I share the Argos thing? I got told I'm supposed to ask permission first. So I've asked. So I did. Well, this tactic whereby, before you used to get the Argos catalogs, isn't it? I don't know if they still do them. So she would circle the very things that she wanted, so then they could, you know, somehow, if somebody then quite so happened to see where the circles are, then all of a sudden the chances increase that the things that you hoped for could actually come to pass. And it actually gets bought for you. Now, when it comes to this story, well, this idea of hope and Christmas hope, there's this character in the Bible who is around this whole nativity part and within the Christmas story, which we know of, but often don't really look to or really think about him in essence. Normally he comes in after the nativity plays are finished, but before any other significant miracle that Jesus comes. So we almost miss him. And in this time that I was preparing for this, I really enjoyed just looking at just those few verses that we have around this character. And this character, well, this person was called Simeon, okay? So to give some context around what was occurring around the time of Christmas, the Jews, as it seems as always, were under oppression yet again, but this time it was under the Roman rule, okay? And it was well known, because the prophets had given prophecy, that there would come a Messiah, or in other words, an anointed one of God, a Savior, who would take them away from such oppression. And this is what they were really looking forward to. And they knew that they would come through a child who was to be born. So with this man, so I'm just going to read. So my reading today is coming from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 33. So allow me just to narrate through this. I'm reading from the NIV version. Okay. So this is Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 33. And he says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, who is Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping what is said into the law of God, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. And if the Bible calls you right, to believe this was a righteous man of God, amen. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. So in other words, he was waiting for the salvation of Israel and for the Israelites. And the Holy Spirit was on him. it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And the Messiah simply meaning a promised deliverer or the anointed one of God. Amen. And then he says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what he was custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss me, your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelations unto the Gentiles and to the glory of people of Israel. The child's father and mother marveled about what was said about him. Bless the Lord for the reading of his word. So Simeon, for me, is so characteristic of somebody who is just so full of hope. He was given this promise by the Holy Spirit that he would not die up until he sees this promised Messiah, that he sees this anointed one of God. Now, one thing I've also learned about the Bible is whenever the Bible doesn't give you a timeline, it generally means it's going to be a long time. If you ask Abraham when he was waiting for Isaac, he was just told him, you will have a son. When Joseph dreamt up about the moon and the stars bowing down before him, he had to wait a long time before, a good 15, 30 years before that came to fruition. And likewise, although we don't get much of an indication as to how long Simeon had to wait, I do believe that it was probably a significant amount of time for him to see this promise. And for me, the key in this is that what the Holy Spirit laid on his heart, it did come to pass. The hope that the Holy Spirit gave to him was fulfilled by God. And in this, we actually get encouragement from this to know that, you know what, when the Holy Spirit gives us a hope or gives us something to hope for, we are assured that it will come to pass, because the word of God never returns unto him void. Amen. And what I hope for is that, even before I get into my points, that in this Advent season, that we remember those things that the Holy Spirit has laid on our hearts. So what God has put on our heart to say, what he has made us hope for, and to believe that, you know what, as he did it for Simeon, he will also do it for us. That for those things that we hope for and that we know are in him will also come to pass. Amen. Amen. So my first point is this: make room for expectancy. Make room for expectancy. One of the most amazing parts that I find within this piece of text is that when we read from verses 26, on Luke chapter 2, verse 26, it says to him, okay, you will not die before you see the Lord's Messiah. And straight away in verse 27, it jumps on to say, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Now, because of the way that it reads, it almost seems as though it happened directly one after the other. And the faithfulness of Simeon is that, one, he knew of this promise that he's got from God that he will see the Messiah. But the other side of it is that he was just simply told by the Holy Spirit, go to the temple. Just go to the temple. And without questioning it, he just made, and this is where we see how he made room for expectancy, is that as the Holy Spirit gave him utterance, he just simply said, you know what, I will just go to the temple. And I believe in that moment he even knew what he was going to find. And the Holy Spirit then actually revealed to him, because Mary and Joseph definitely wouldn't have pronounced Jesus as the Messiah. And he actually saw through the eyes of the Holy Spirit that, you know what, this is the Messiah. And this is where we see how the hope that was in Simeon was that regardless of where the Holy Spirit was calling him to and to go, he would simply follow. He just, imagine that, you, the Holy Spirit coming to you and saying, oh yeah, just go to church. Huh? Holy Spirit, what was that? Yeah, go to church. No, but what's there to do? Just go to church. That's it. And for me, there's a lot to learn in that, to know that, you know, this obedience that comes into the Holy Spirit, even though we may not understand exactly what he may be trying to do at the time, but then we can him that when he puts something on our hearts, we can move in that expectancy and we can see what the Holy Spirit has got to do for us. So there is this element that when we place our hopes in Jesus, We then also place an expectancy that whenever he tells us to do something, he's doing it for our good and he's doing it to fulfill something in our lives. So I pray that, you know what, this morning, that when we hear that voice that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us to go to a place, to move somewhere, that we listen, that we stay obedient and we do what may seem abnormal in light of the fact that we are listening to the one who gives us all things. Amen. And most important about this whole piece is that God met Simeon's hopes and expectancies. When we make room to expect something, what we're doing is giving God the authority in our lives to say, you know what, God, may you do this thing for me. May you move on my behalf. You're basically making space for something else to happen, which you're basically saying that I'm outside of the control of this. So one thing I then have a question is to say, this morning, even as we look onto Christmas and we look at the Advent season, do we still believe that God still has us in mind? Do we still believe that the hopes that we had, that we know came from the Holy Spirit, that have been uttered to us, do we still believe that God still remembers us? Do we still believe that, you know, and again, I don't want to almost give examples, but you know, I believe that each one of us here has a purpose and a call onto us of which God has been trying to place and orchestrate through our lives. And at times then it's a case of, have we abandoned that because it just hasn't happened in the time period that we want it to do? Or it hasn't happened in the time period that we say, oh, if it were God, it happened in a certain amount of time. In that same way, Simeon shows us how we are to wait on the Lord. In the same way that when we see a present underneath the tree, we wait for it to unwrap it and go, you know what, but we have to wait time to come. When it comes Christmas Day, finally we can open the present. And likewise with God, God expects us to wait up until the time comes in which he seeks for something to be revealed and he seeks to be able to give unto us what he has promised and he has given for us to hope for. Our hope is never misplaced when it's in Jesus. Our hope is never misplaced because we are confident that anything that the Lord says to us will come to pass. And the truth is this. So my second point is that Jesus is the answer to our longing and waiting for the born King. Jesus is the answer to our longing and waiting for the born King. So we are well aware, you know, even as we've heard in the Nativity today, that Jesus came to earth for you and I, okay? And often what I've also been observing of late is that there is this desire within us to continuously attain things, to continuously grab hold of things. And what has been particularly, you know, an observation I've been making of late is I believe that there is something in us which is longing for Jesus. That the only thing that ever satisfies in life is Jesus. That all of the things that we seek to gain and grab hold of, you know, as soon as after you get it, it's kind of like, okay, maybe it may last a day or two, even the presents that we'll get, you know, it'll be fun for the moment, but then don't think anything you can attain on this earth will ever give you everlasting joy or everlasting hope in what you believe in. And you know, I've seen this. I remember when I was around about 16, there was this guy who used to come to our church, and he was 21 years old, and he had a BMW, right? This guy basically was the Messiah to us as young men. It was like, Because it was just like, wow, when you talk about BMW, all of, you think of an uncle with a belly maybe slightly bigger than mine. And the car, you know, who's managed to make it to that level where they can actually attain such a thing? And you know what? I actually, at 16, I looked at this guy. I was like, you know what? I want to do exactly what you did. That when I get to 21, I also want to have a BMW. Long story short, by the time I was 18 and stuff, Godfrey and the likes, when I was in the library, supposed to be studying in university, all I'll be looking at is scrolling and looking at BMW, saying, you know, I need to get this thing before I'm 20. And you're plotting, you know, if you spend £50 this month and £25 next month, you know, trying to almost work out how will I get there. And long story short, by the time I got to 21, I did it. I actually got there and I bought the car. And I think it was literally about 12 hours afterwards And I was like, I actually don't. The fulfillment, you know, all the promise I had built myself up for 5 years to get this car and to meet this goal, all of a sudden for me, it had just been like, oh, well, it's there. You know, and don't get me wrong, I still appreciate it. I mean, I'm a petrolhead. I love cars and the like. But then I realized, actually, this thing which I have placed all my hopes and fulfillment doesn't actually give me fulfillment. And I even look at it, when I look at the billionaires of the world right now, I find it, because I'm just like, wow, little old me actually knows that what they're looking for is Jesus and not these things that they're looking for. I mean, I look at the likes of Bezos and the other billionaire top three folks up there, and how now all of a sudden they are all racing to go to space. That's all they think about. They're like, you know what, if I just get someone to go into, and all, you know, they're racing, they're pumping billions of pounds, and now that they've actually all done it, all three of them which were in the race, again, it's kind of like, it's done. What else is there? You know, what else is there? And this is where I see that, like, wow, if only they knew real fulfillment in life and in the afterlife only comes through Jesus Christ, right? That if they only knew that all these things that they're trying to plug in and fill is just an endless sinkhole, which will be filled up until they realize that the one they're actually expecting to come into their life is this King who came, who is Jesus Christ. And my question then is this, is out of all the things that we continue to hope for, out of all these things that we continue to aspire to attain and to grab hold of, how many of those things do we know are in line with what the Holy Spirit has for us? And why do I say this? Look at this. You know, Simeon, for me, in this moment, demonstrates what fulfillment looks like in life. Because when I'm reading now on on Luke 2, verse 29, it says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." For me, that's just absolutely incredible. See, when Simeon saw the Savior of the world and he held him in his arms and he recognized who he was, for him, that was everything. In other words, here, okay, to make it clear, when he's saying you may dismiss him, he's basically saying, you know what, he's ready to die. He's ready to move on because he has seen all that he needs to see, that he has seen the consolation of Israel. He has seen the Messiah come, the one that he had been waiting for. And this only, that level of satisfaction and fulfillment only comes through when something that is God-breathed has come into your life. And you say, you know what, God, this thing that you have placed on my life to see to come to pass has happened within my lifetime. God, as I said before in the first point, God is faithful to keep to his promise. That those very longings that he put within you as you were young to be able to, it may be, you know, it's not necessarily that it's to see the Savior. It could be something to do with helping those ones in need. It could be a charitable, you know, requirement. It could be anything, giving people jobs. I don't know what it is. But the point is, when it is God breathed and the Holy Spirit puts it on your heart for you to be able to fulfill something, then all of a sudden you will find that within ourselves we will be entirely fulfilled because it's the Holy Spirit who gave us that hope and that dream. Amen. So I just want us to think. I mean, my second question is this, that how much in alignment are our hopes and dreams today with what the Holy Spirit wants for us in our lives? We have seen the billionaires of the world, and we have seen countless times when we've waited for something, and when we finally get it, it hasn't really quite hit the spot of what we thought it would do in our lives. So maybe it's time, even in this Advent season, that even as we are hoping to celebrate Jesus, that we also renew our hopes, which were originally in the Lord, that we renew our hopes and believe that, you know what, God, those things that you placed in us, that we know we'll get full fulfillment from, will come to pass within our lifetime. And we will live a life which is totally spent and where we can say we have run the good race. Amen. 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 And my third point is this, the king is coming. The king is coming. As Christians, and I know we entirely know that, you know, Jesus came, you know, 2,000 years ago as a baby. to be the savior of the world. We know that. And the other side of it is, as much as Simeon and all the Israelites waited hundreds of years for this coming Messiah to come, we are also in waiting for the king. Not for his first coming, but for his second coming. We are in waiting. So in this time of Christmas, we actually almost join in that waiting that Simeon had to say, you know, we're waiting for a king. We don't know the hour. It could be today. It could be next week. It could be in years. It could be in a millennia. And the point is, we don't know, but we are all in waiting. As long as we believe in Jesus, we cannot leave that element of our faith, because that is literally part of the substance, to believe that our coming king will come. And to do it justice, I'm just going to read a few scriptures just to show you what the promises, the hopes that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God has given unto us. And I'm just going to read from 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Reading from Revelation 21, verses 1 to 4. This is the second promise. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride and beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" And the last one I'm going to read is from Hebrews 9, 27 to 28. It says, "Just as people are destined to die once and after that face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed only to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those awaiting him." Now, amen. So for us to remember in this time, I think, as I say, it's totally new to me. I had never really thought about it at the time. You know, I was so used to just celebrating Jesus' first coming, but really what we now who have lived past that first coming are looking forward to is the coming of our King. It is the coming of our Lord Jesus. The fact that God kept his promise to Simeon. God will keep his promise to us. We have seen him come. He prophesied through Isaiah and the other prophets that he's going to come. We can also stand on that and say, you know what, just as you have said that you will come again, we believe that the Lord is coming. The King of glory is going to come again, and he's going to wipe away every tear, and he will make all things new, and will live on the new earth and in the new heaven, and all these things will pass away. And I just hope that in this season, in this Christmas time, as we have received the Messiah, the King, for first of all, for the taking away of sins, may we also believe that the Lord is coming again to be able to meet us, and we will meet him in the air, and we'll be able to see everything made new once again, and we'll be able to live in his presence forever. God is going to reconcile us right back to him. He's going to reconcile us, and we'll live in eternity in his presence. And I just hope and pray that even this Christmas season, that we're able to see that you know what, God, you have not abandoned us. That God, we are in this world, but we are not part of this world. As a matter of fact, the Bible will say that our citizenship is not of this earth, but it is in heaven. Yes, Lord. And for me, the particular challenge about this whole piece is, out of all the year that I've had this year, you know, 2021 has been an interesting year, to say the least. It's how often have I thought to myself, am I living for today? Am I living for a decade here on earth? And the Bible will tell us, don't store up your riches here on earth where it can be taken away moths, but store up your riches in heaven. How often is it that we actually think about the fact that this isn't our home? that our home is in heaven and the Lord is calling us. You know, all of a sudden, when we look at things through that lens to say, actually, this isn't our final place, it changes everything. It changes everything because all of a sudden, we are then called to live for Christ. And we are looking then to continuously live within that promise to say, you know what, Lord, you are coming again. And that has to have an impact on our lives. There is no way we can live our lives without that reality changing our perception and changing how it is that we live our day to day when we know that the King is coming back again. Amen. And I'm just going to finish off with this. Our hopes are found in Jesus. And in that, also know that everything that has meaning, everything which has substance, everything which is worthwhile can only be found in Jesus. And even though we are going through a particularly difficult time, I think, you know, it's probably new to all of us in this generation to live through a pandemic. And sometimes it may seem that all hope is gone. And it may seem as though, you know, we don't have anything to look forward to. I just want us to point us right back to the cross. I want us to point us right back to Jesus in a manger to say, you know what, Lord, you came. Lord, you came. You fulfilled the hope that Simeon had. You fulfilled what you promised. And God, we are also looking for him to fulfill the very promises that he has for us today. And I pray that God, for every hope that he has put in our hearts, for every hope that he has fleshed out with us, that he will revive hope and that outlook to say that what God has promised will come to pass. That whatever God has said will happen because he said so. And even as we gather, I know this is our last Sunday before Christmas. I hope that as we gather, you know, around our tables with loved ones and family and the likes, that we remember the promise of the coming King. One, we remember that he came, that but then also that he is coming again. And that hope can only be found in him. Amen. That he is hope to the hopeless, that in every situation whereby we may seem down and out, that he is going to pull through. He has a hope for a tomorrow, that tomorrow is coming and it is better than the day before. Yes. And Father, we know that you fashion all things together and you make all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. So Lord, I pray even this morning, oh Lord, that Lord, would you revive hope? God, I pray that for even those without, those with little, God, that you would hold them in their arms even as it comes this Christmas time. For many, it's a joyous season, but for many, it's a time of despair. But God, I pray that this morning may your people, God, Father, everyone under the sound of my voice, may they be encouraged once again. That our hope is placed in you. That you are the Messiah, the King who came and the one who is to come. And God, that you love each and every single one of us. And that is the reason that you came, because you love us, O Lord Jesus. So Lord, I pray, Almighty God, that this morning may hope be renewed. May hope be renewed this morning. Lord, I pray, Almighty God, that Father, in every dire situation, in every hopeless situation, O Lord Jesus, that Lord, may you be the light that shines through. God, I pray, Almighty God, that as this Christmas comes, may we open up our hearts to be able to serve one another, God. Father, to remember you and the fact that you met Simeon's promise, O Lord Jesus. And Lord, may we also be faithful to you, God, Father, to listen to your voice. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've just had an idea. I mean, like, I don't know. You know, there's quite a number of us here this morning. Wouldn't it be amazing if, you know, I know within this Christmas time, we all know some people or maybe someone who may not be going through the best of times at the moment. And just as we know Simeon's hope was fulfilled, would you speak to someone who needs encouraging? That at this Christmas time, we may not just think of the turkey and the presents and the likes, but we also maybe send an encouragement to someone who just needs it. And send an encouragement to someone and say, you know what, the hope that you need can be found in Jesus. I believe that this time is a special time where people are ready to hear of who Jesus is and ready to hear that this King is real and He is the fulfillment that we are searching for. In the mind of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.